welcome to episode 45 of Unapologetically Overcoming. I'm your host, Jess Marie. Today's episode comes with a trigger warning, as my guest and I will be discussing disordered eating. If you've been around for the duration of this podcast, you know that this topic hits very close to home for me. My guest will share her story and talk about the work she does now to help others who face disordered eating.
My guest today is here to talk about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. I am very grateful for her joining me today. I'm going to turn it over to her and let her introduce herself and tell you all a little bit about who she is and what she does. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, so I'm Libby Supan, and I am a licensed therapist and certified intuitive eating coach. And the reason why I do this is because I myself had a really bad eating disorder and disordered eating for many years, about 20, and made a promise to myself that if I ever got better, then I would then have to do this and help others. So that's why I'm here.
And, you know, I always say I love so much when people use what they have gone through to help other people, because it's so incredibly powerful. Not just for yourself, but for the other people that you're helping. So thank you so much for, you know, for making that promise and for following through with it, because this type of work is really important to me, but to a lot of people, I'm sure. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jess. I appreciate it. And I agree. I feel the same. And for me, when I was seeking a therapist and went through many, many, many different ones to find the right one, it was really important for me that my therapist had also recovered from an eating disorder. So yeah,
it's difficult to work with someone who has zero experience with disorders. I was seeing someone at one point, and it was a terrible experience. So it's so important to, you know, if you're going to do any kind of counseling related to your eating disorder, to make sure that the person is, you know, experience.
Yeah, they know what they're talking about.
No, haven't gone through one themselves, just being understanding and empathetic, because even that makes a huge difference.
Well, absolutely. And not that clinicians, therapists, whoever the provider is, does this on purpose, but so many therapists do so much harm not staying in their scope and working with people who have eating disorders, and they don't have any business doing that.
Yeah.
I have so many clients come to me and they're like, oh my gosh, I've been with this therapist for 5 years and they had me doing Noom. And I'm just like, oh my God. Ah. So, you know, it's just,
Yeah. So if you could talk to us a little bit about your journey, your diagnosis with an eating disorder, and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's see where to begin. So with eating disorders and the development of them, each one is so very individualized, and there's so many different ingredients or factors, if you will, to make the development of an eating disorder. So for me, I had a lot of the root or underground things kind of brewing in the background, if you will, before I started engaging in behaviors. So things like living in a home where there was a lot of physical abuse. There was emotional and mental abuse. There was extreme perfectionism. Appearances was everything. Being popular was everything. One parent was, you know, not totally absent, but workaholic, not home very often, you know, but had to get the best grades, had to be in all the things, you had to be popular. So I had all that going on. I also was in dance. So I was looking at my body a lot in the mirror, comparing myself to others, and not even necessarily in a way of fat phobic, but more of just observing, you know, I remember one message I received early on was Jenny was the best, but yet she's in the back. Jenny has a bigger body. That must be why. So Libby, make sure you don't gain weight. That was a message I received when I was pretty young. So all of that was going on. And then one kind of triggering event happened. So my family made a move from one part of California to another the summer before I went into high school. And, you know, it was that was kind of the last straw. And that is when I was everything just kind of turned my life upside down. I now had no friends, no community. I was in this like foreign, you know, city town. As a kid, it was super scary. Everything was just, it was like, to me, like now that I'm an adult, the city I lived in high school, it's not a big city. But at the time where I came from, it was like living in the big city, like so scary. And I just didn't really feel like I fit in. I didn't feel like I belonged. And so kind of my go-to was panic, figure it out. What are you going to do about it, Libby? And it was be better. And be better meant eat less. So it was like one day at lunch, I just decided to bring less food to lunch. And then I just started decreasing my breakfast. And it just kind of started like that. And so it started with restriction, which turned into anorexia. I saw a therapist once when I was a freshman in high school, only once. I refused to go back. I don't even think I said one word. And I really did not think I had a problem. So anyways, I'm trying to move this along.
It's okay.
So it really, I knew I had a problem once I went into college. So I moved away from where I was living in high school to like 7 hours away to another part of Southern California, moved away to college. And my biggest fear was freshman 15. I avoided the dorms, the dining halls in the dorms for like a full month. Mm-hmm. When I first started school, and then my roommate was totally weirded out. Like, Libby, you have to go to the dining halls. You can't just eat snacks. So that's when binging started, and I couldn't stop eating. And then that would trigger me to go into extreme restrictions and diets, extreme compulsive overexercising. I mean, it was like my whole world was trying to make up for what I ate and trying to not eat. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, not realizing I'm now just making this, like triggering an urge to binge for myself. I had no idea how it all worked and the biology of it.
Yeah.
I was, you know, good grades. I was in like all the activities and just dying inside with this eating disorder. So all throughout college, after college, I tried getting help. I read every book. I sought out all the therapists. I went to a 12-step group for 15 years where I didn't know I was getting sicker being in those rooms. I know that. I mean, I knew that when I finally got into regular, actual eating disorder treatment. So that is that. And I promised myself that if I ever get better, I'm going to do this. And so got into treatment and went into graduate school. And here we are. There's so much more to it, but for time's sake.
I know. And I mean, just listening to you tell your story, it's just so interesting because I mean, everybody's story is different. And so many different pieces. And there's always something that's kind of similar in everyone's story, even mm-hmm. if everything doesn't kind of match up.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's important, obviously, I mean, the whole reason why I do this podcast is talking about stigmas. And there are tons of them with eating disorders. Can you talk about some of them? Maybe ones that you experienced or ones that like, the people that you work with now experience?
Yes. Okay. So I think the biggest stigma that we have, especially in the United States, is that eating disorders are for thin, anorexic, white adolescents. Mm-hmm. And yes, that happens. And there's a lot of them, you know, there's a big population of people that struggle like that. But the biggest, the most common eating disorder is binge eating disorder. And most often, people who have eating disorders live either in a straight size body, like what we call straight or average, or a bigger size body. I think other stigmas are, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, comments that were always made to me. So it was like, so for so many years, like I'd say a good 15, it was just constantly gaining and losing. And it was like noticeable. Uh-huh. People would make comments about it all the time. And it was like, whenever Libby gained weight, it was kind of this like, oh man, you gained it again. Not doing so well. And so for me, it was like that the binging was the instilled like thing that was the problem.
Yeah.
I had no idea that it stemmed from the restriction, but it's like when I lost weight, no one was ever concerned. It was just like, you look good, girl. What'd you do? So there's so many stigmas that it's only for females. Mm-hmm. So those are just some of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, those are the ones that kind of stick out in my head too. And I know that when we first talked, you know, I experienced a lot. Like when I would tell people that I had an eating disorder, the first thing that they would say to me is, oh, well, you're not fat. How do you have an eating disorder? And I'm like,
yeah,
you realize how you sound right now?
It's awful to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And then even like, you know, when I would lose weight, people would say, oh my gosh, you look so good. But then there were people who were like, oh my God, are you sick? Like,
yeah.
So it's like this whole big, like, yes, mess
of mixed messages,
things. And it's so, you know, it's so important. And I try to talk to people about this when I talk about my experience, you know, choosing your words carefully.
Yes.
I try so hard not to comment on people's weight, whether they've gained weight or lost weight, because I don't like when people bring attention to my weight loss and weight gain. So, you know, I mean, there's ways that you can, you know, compliment someone without pointing out their weight.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of times people don't realize that
they don't,
that they're doing it. But again, this is why we need to have these conversations, so that people can kind of get the information about, you know, maybe what people are going through, and just
be
more considerate and think. Really
before
your mouth, because I
absolutely
don't do that.
I know. I love that you say be more considerate. And you know, I am so guilty. For years, I would comment on anyone that lost weight because I was always in a panic. What did you do to get there? Tell me now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am a huge advocate on, we do not make comments on other people's bodies, body shape or size. The only time you do is if you are truly concerned.
Right.
You pull the person away in private and you say, this is what I've noticed, and I just want to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's never okay.
No. And you know, it's funny too, because I did an episode not long after I first started the podcast where I just talked, it was an episode by myself where I talked about, you know, my journey and everything. And I had someone who listened, like, apologized to me after listening and been like, I'm so sorry because I didn't mean those things, but listening to you talk. And I was like, first of all, you don't need to apologize.
Right.
It wasn't directed at you, but
yeah.
But she was like, no, I really, she's like, I'm going to do better. And I was like, well, I appreciate that more than you probably realize, because not just for me, but for other people too, because you don't always know what someone is going through.
You never do.
And, you know, and this obviously isn't something that, like, we shout from the rooftops because of the judgments and the stigma.
And the stigma. Mm-hmm.
You know, the misunderstanding and all of that. So that's, I mean, I think that's really why it is important to just, you know, be kind, be considerate, and before you speak, especially in situations like this, because unknowingly you can say something and then someone who is not, you know, in a good spot in their journey could be triggered by that. And
absolutely,
you know, people always talk about, like, you're not responsible for other people's feelings and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, you're not, but
you right.
can still be kind and
consistent. You can still be kind. Like, right. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, like, so when I would receive the message, like, you look so good, how'd you lose the weight? The first thought was, yes, I did it.
Yeah.
And the second one was, shit. How do I keep this up?
Right.
If they only knew, if they only knew, they would know I was crazy. Something that was, it's really ironic and really funny that we're talking about this. So I'm going to tell you a funny story.
Okay.
So I do TikTok and I was making a TikTok video where I was playing these two characters. Uh-huh. One character is Aunt Sally, who's like the body shamer. And the other character is Libby, who's the person who's giving some, like, different types of responses. Okay. So this is really funny. And so Aunt Sally's like, oh, did you gain weight? And then, you know, Libby says, does that make you feel uncomfortable, Aunt Sally? So that's kind of like the idea of the video.
Uh-huh.
So someone made a comment and actually said, I'm concerned for you and your body. Are you okay? And I thought, wait, this has to be a joke. So I messaged this person and I said, are you being serious? Are you actually concerned about me? Yes, you look really unwell. And I said, I'm confused. I'm not sure why you say that, even though I assumed it was because I'm thin and she thinks I'm sick. And she said, you just look unwell. And then I made a video about that because I am very well. It was just a reminder of, are you kidding? Did you not get the message in the
Right.
video?
No, it went right over their head, right over. But and I think that too is something important to point out because so many different topics, people have images or ideas in their head about what someone who is going through that or has that looks like. And that's a perfect example. Like just because someone is what somebody might think maybe is too skinny, doesn't mean they're unwell. The same way that like someone who might have a little more weight on them isn't, doesn't have something like it's just so, it really blows my mind how we're still in this
I know.
headspace of like,
I know. And just as we're talking about it right now, I'm having all these memories. And as a therapist, like, I really don't take things personally. I seriously do not judge my clients, but I observe, right? I observe everything that they do and say. And I cannot tell you how many clients, men and women, have made comments and said things like, well, you're way too skinny. You are definitely not my type. Or I definitely would not want to look like you. And seriously, I am not offended. I really am not. I just find it so interesting that, like, that's an okay thing for them to say. And again, I'm not offended. I mean that they think it's okay to say that to their therapist, you know?
No,
It's
I mean,
just
I hear
interesting.
you because I mean, so many times I hear people say, and I mean, don't get me wrong, nobody's perfect. Sometimes I say things and I'm like, hold on a second. It didn't quite come out how I wanted it to, or I didn't mean it like that. But like, I think there's a difference between that and then like purposefully saying things like that, where it's blatant that probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's just one of those things that's kind of unnecessary. I mean, maybe I would have had my feelings hurt. I'm the therapist, so that's not anyone else's, job to take care of the therapist's feelings. But yeah, it's all just interesting, and I think, and it just, the making comments on bodies, here's what I can tell you. Almost every single one of my coaching clients has said the exact same thing about why they don't want to come to group. It, and this is what they say. I'm going to be the fattest one. I'm going to be the ugliest. I have social anxiety. I'm too insecure. I can't be on camera. If I come, can I hide my face? And it's just gut-wrenching.
I know. I mean, I don't even know these people, and hearing you say that, like, that breaks my heart. Like,
I know.
I mean, when I hear people say, oh, I can't wear that, or I look like this, or, like, it really does. Like, it
It
breaks my
hurts.
heart. It does because,
I
like,
know.
I used to be that person, so I mean, I empathize, but also, like, just living life like that and feeling that way, it's so awful. It's just,
It's just constantly like the message of I'm not good enough. And I mean, like, I need to add more or take away in order to be good enough. I know. It's heart-wrenching.
It really is. It really is. And I mean, again, not to sound like a broken record, but this is exactly why we need to have these conversations so that
Absolutely.
people can understand the impact that these things are having on other people. And as we raise our children, being kind to each other, and they learn those things from us as adults. And even if you don't have children yourselves, there's probably children somewhere in your circle. And if you're doing something and they look up to you, they're probably going to model that behavior. So it's like you really just have to be careful.
Totally. And even so, here's another thing I want to say. If there's any, like, especially moms listening to this episode, please, please do me and everyone a favor, especially your children. Do not talk negatively about your body. Please don't, because let me tell you the message it gives your daughter, especially. If you don't like your body, the message your daughter gets is, well, you don't like your body. I came from your body. Do I not like my body? Mm-hmm. Do I need to change my body? Mm-hmm. Should I be doing that Weight Watchers thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, that's so important. Even as a, like the mother to a son,
yeah.
I have to be careful with that too, because, you know,
yeah.
I don't want him looking at other women.
Totally.
As he gets older that, you know, don't look like this person or that person and think,
right. Oh,
because they're not that, then they're, you know, so
right.
That's so important. Thank you for saying that. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, there were so many pieces of information in that conversation.
I know.
That are like important takeaways. But if there was one thing, and if you need to repeat something that you already said, or there's something else that comes to mind, but one thing that you would want someone to take away from, you know, this conversation, or even a conversation in general about, you know, disordered eating and all of that, what would it be?
Okay. So I usually always say one thing, but I'm going to say something different today, but I can share both of them. Okay. So the thing I'm going to share that's different today is what I want you to leave this episode with is, if you are listening to this and either yourself or someone else is struggling with anything to do with food, your body, body image, you deserve to get help. This whole I'm not sick enough thing that we tell ourselves, we have to stop. You deserve the help. I don't care if you're not underweight. I don't care if you think you're overweight. Whatever it is, you deserve to get help. You don't feel good? Go get help. You don't have to be any like level of sickness in order to seek help.
That's very important. I agree with that too, because you're right. I mean, no matter what it is.
Yeah, right.
You deserve to get help for it. And
yes,
you know, there's not like a checkbox, like a list of things that you have to check off to,
right,
to qualify for needing help. Especially
yeah.
something like this, you know. So
yes. And I thought to say that today because I receive, I mean, hundreds of messages from like my social media accounts, mm-hmm. from so many different people, and they'll question me like, I think I have an eating disorder, but I'm not sure. And my, you know, internal response is, if you think you do, then you probably do, go get help. But then we'll kind of get into a little conversation, and then they always, not always, oftentimes end kind of our little conversation with, well, I'm just going to hold out for now. Like, I'm not sick enough. I'm not as sick as other people. I'm not as sick as so-and-so. And I'm just like, no, go get the help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I mean, even though you may not be, you know, I'm using air quotes because people can't.
Right. Like you might have a diagnosable disorder.
Like getting the help now may prevent you from getting to that point of, you know, being that sick. So.
Yes. And I seriously believe that, you know, I think it's a very normal, common thing for Americans to have a medical doctor, right? Like, I think we kind of, most of us have a doctor.
Yeah.
Why don't most of us have therapists? Like, every single human deserves to have like a 45 to 50 minute time slot where they can talk just about themselves to a professional that knows how to like figure out the cobwebs, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. It's so funny because I was working at my part-time job last night, and I made a comment about how I wouldn't be at work next Tuesday because I have a therapy appointment. And joking around, the guy was like, oh, you have one of those? And I was like, yeah, I do have one of those. And he was like, no, I do too. And I'm like, that's great. And he was like, I think more people need. And I'm like, I know, like, I look forward to my therapy.
Totally.
Like, I've been seeing this woman for several years. It took so long to find someone that I clicked with, that I was comfortable with, that like gets me. And
yes.
There's nothing wrong with talking to somebody and just bouncing ideas off, especially somebody who's like impartial, you know?
Right. They have your best interest in mind. They're objective. I know. And I'm so with you. It took me so many years to find my therapist. Mm-hmm. And I just, we had our, the last session I had was last Thursday. And we just realized we've been working together for 26 years.
That's
I was like,
what? That's amazing that they've been around for that long, because
I know.
I mean, oftentimes I think what happens is the therapist like retires, they leave,
something
different, something happens where they're not there anymore, and then you're like stuck, like, oh my God, what do I do now? That's amazing.
I know. I know. I feel very fortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so
She's cool. Great.
That is awesome. So, I always ask my guests, if they have a favorite inspirational quote or message that they would like to share. Do you have one?
Yes, I do. Okay. So this is, I love Maya Angelou and her quotes. So here's the one that I love. Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. It kind of reminds me of, oftentimes I talk about, can you do 1% better? And I'm not asking you to be perfect at all. But if you feel badly about yourself right now, what's one little minuscule thing you can do that's going to help?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that, because sometimes all it takes is that one little thing today, and then tomorrow maybe you do a little more, and then say a little bit more, and then all those little things that you do, they eventually end, and then you're like, holy cow, look where I am now.
Absolutely. I know, it's all the little things that make the big impact.
Absolutely. And I'm a huge fan of Maya Angelou too, so that was great. Thank you for sharing that one.
Awesome.
All right. So before I ask you my last question, where can people find you? Social media, website, all the good things.
I am. So my website is just libbysupan.com. My email is libby@libbysupan.com. And that's LIBBYSUPAN. So libbysupan.com, libby@libbysupan.com. And then all my social media handles are Food Freedom with Libby. So I'm mostly on TikTok and Instagram. I'm also on Facebook, but mostly TikTok and Instagram. And it's Food Freedom with Libby.
Right. Awesome. And I will link all of that information in the show notes for today's episode.
Awesome. Thank you.
Of course. And my last question before we go, how do you show up in the world unapologetically?
How do I show up in the world unapologetically? I mean, how do I don't even know how to answer that. I can tell you what I won't ever apologize for.
Okay.
Today.
Okay.
I will never apologize about what I'm eating or how I'm eating. I'm never going to apologize again because you're uncomfortable with how or what I'm eating. And I did that for, you know, most of my life. I'm also never going to apologize about the body size that I live in. So the question, how do I show up in the world unapologetic? I walk with a lot more confidence today. Of course, I have insecurities, but
I'll do. I think anyone who they don't is probably lying.
I agree. I don't know. I trust myself. I have trust in myself, which is really different than how it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that is unapologetic. I trust me. I trust my gut, and I can go within and inside to get my answers.
I love that answer.
I hope that would answer the question.
It did answer.
Okay.
I think it was the perfect answer, especially in relation to this topic. So
yeah,
I think you did a great job there.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, thank you so much again for joining me and having this conversation. You know, like I said in the beginning, this is a very important topic for me. I think the more people that talk about this, the better, and you know, just keep having these conversations, keep being kind, keep being considerate, and all those things. And you know, if you are looking for some assistance in this area, check out Libby, because she's your girl.
Absolutely. And if you are curious, like whether therapy or coaching is for you and you don't know, reach out. We can talk it out and I will let you know what's appropriate. And yeah, reach out. If you have any questions, find me on social media, email, whatever. And thank you so much, Jess.
It's my pleasure.
I'm so grateful for this conversation with Libby. I am particularly passionate about this topic, so these conversations are extra important to me. All of Libby's information is linked in the show notes for today's episode. I encourage you all to check out her website and follow her on all of her social media platforms. Before I go, I have some exciting news for you all. I've mentioned the last few episodes that I'm offering life coaching services. My website is finally live. You can find it at www.unapologeticlifecoachingllc.com. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at unapologetically_overcoming and send me a DM to set up your free discovery call. I'd also kindly request that you rate and review the podcast. Not only do I value your feedback, but your reviews help others find the show. Thank you again to Libby for joining me today. Thank you all for listening. And remember, be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and be unapologetically you.